You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 14th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, or wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us or watching us on all the various platforms out there, podcasts, YouTube, Facebook. However you got here, we appreciate you getting your day started with us on this Tuesday, where you might be a little more sleep deprived than normal. So I got a question for you, as well as for producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2. Do you understand now why the Brewers were able to beat the Dodgers six times in July when their ace Blake Snell was out with an injury? Because I do. The Brewers lineup all understands this guy's good.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it. We were Snell shocked, if you were. The Brewer, I can't even call them the Brewers hitters. The Brewers batters were shell shocked by Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Dodgers take game one of the National League Championship Series 2-1. Were it not for an unbelievable double play by the Brewers and a near comeback in the ninth inning, all we'd be talking about is a very nearly perfect game by the Dodger pitcher. That was very frustrating to watch.
I don't even know if I can say that it was frustrating, because it was just such good pitching, to be honest with you.
It really was. Like, you were like, you can't solve this guy.
No,
you know?
There were a couple of batters for the Brewers that were frustrating. Like, Christian Yelich was frustrating.
Yes.
He has been cold pretty much all postseason, and was clearly not seeing the ball. But I mean, Snell was just doing whatever he wanted. He was, I've talked about this before.
The metaphor you always use, he was painting. He was painting the canvas. So wherever he wanted the stroke to go, it went, you know, whereas so many other times you see a pitcher thinks it's going there, but it goes over there. And for Snell, it was like, nope, I want it to go there. And it did.
And it
was really something. See, the thing, he was injured and not able to play back in July. We swept all six games from the Dodgers because they were all in two tight bunches, 2-3-game series in the month of July.
Yeah.
And he was out during that time. So the good news is he can't pitch all the games. So we got him in that one. And like I said, he pitched eight innings. He faced the minimum.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect game because there was a base runner who then promptly got picked off. But other than that, 24 men up, 24 men erase. And you can debate whether he should have been allowed to come out for the last three. Now, again, it wouldn't have been a perfect game, but still, you get 24 up and basically 24 down. That's pretty good stuff. You know,
it's very good. I think it's really promising for the Brewers to have seen that they can get hits, because going into tonight, if they didn't get absolutely anything going, that would have been really hard, but they got a little bit of something going there, and they showed themselves that Dodger bullpen might be where you can get to guys. So this should probably cement the Brewers' approach of take a lot of pitches, put the ball in play against those starting pitchers so you can finally get to that bullpen and really get some work in.
So let's talk about that double play. You ever heard, I'm sure you've heard the phrase ground into a double play. And usually you ground into a double play to the shortstop or the second baseman. So the ball travels, you know, 150 feet or something like this.
Yeah.
We're going to describe to you now grounding into a double play at 400 feet. So we're in the fourth inning. There's one out. The Dodgers have the bases loaded. And Max Muncy hits a fly ball to center. Should have been a grand slam.
Yeah.
It was that close to a grand slam. Sal Frelick, who I'm still not sure why he was playing center field, but he reached just high enough for the ball to glance off his mitt, hit the wall, and then back to him. So it wasn't a catch, because it deflected off the wall. It was a live ball. So as a result, and this gets, if you're not a baseball rule follower, I apologize, it's a little in the weeds, but because he didn't catch it, it bounced off the wall. It wasn't a matter of the runner tagging up at no. third and then needing to be tagged out at home. Yeah. Because the bases were loaded, this was a force play, no different than if he'd have ground a shortstop. And so Frelick throws home. It got to William Contreras a split second ahead of the runner. And so it counts as a force out. He didn't have to tag the runner. It's a force out. And then Contreras had the presence of mind to see that the runner on second froze. Yeah. Froze. And he just starts jogging up the third baseline, daring the runner, ready to throw to the third baseman, but never needs to. Steps on third base, and it's a double play. You know, just the way you design it. An 8-2 or 8-6-2, two unassisted double play. Nothing to it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there we'll always have that image of Sal Frelick. They cut to him afterwards, right after, and he's got this look like, what? What just happened?
Huh?
Was that a catch? And that's what a lot of people thought. They thought, well, is that a catch? No, it's not a catch. And the left field umpire got it right away. And then the umpiring crew got the rest of it right.
Shout out to those umpires. I have been very vocal on.
I was still vocal last night. Those balls and strikes calls.
It was a bad
Good
zone.
Good Lord.
It was a bad
Bring
zone.
On the robots. But yes, they got that one right. It was actually one of the rare times. I am a big time Brian Anderson fan.
Oh my God. Yes.
Thrilled that he's calling this for TBS.
Yes.
But he got that wrong on multiple levels. He got the catch wrong. He got the number of outs wrong at one point. And I understand. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
I mean, it was confusing as all get out, but I was more frustrated with the camera directing because they didn't ever show the out at third for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. You had to come back from the break. Again, it's one of those things that you don't appreciate certain things and you take them for granted until you see other people do it. Yeah. Really good TV directing, especially with live sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in those trucks and those control rooms. And I mean, you have to be ready. You're looking at 30 different monitors and you have to know what camera to call. And I mean, we talk about air traffic controllers and that's life or death, but I'm saying for the same kind of mental speed at which you have to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. I definitely appreciate it more. There's a lot of things about this TBS crew that make me a little crazy with some of the graphics and things like that. So I would save that for a sports talk station where I've got 2 hours to talk about the game, but we ain't got that. No. So I'll just say it's been great to watch. And I'll be watching all 9 innings again tonight. I don't even feel tired as a result of the game. It was actually kind of a nice break. Frustrating as all get out. We're like, oh my God, he's facing the minimum number. He's facing, what was it? He faced 15, 18, 21, 24. It was crazy. But like I said, he can't pitch every day.
No, he can't. And I do think, like I said, I think there's a little bit of promise coming into tonight for the Brewers. I'm confident. I don't feel any worse about the series than I did already. I'm a little worried about our bullpen just for our like stamina standpoint, but I think we're okay.
The ninth inning, the Brewers actually got the bases loaded.
They juiced them.
And we're threatening. And at one point, it was Bryce Terang that nearly got hit, got out of the way.
Yeah.
And some people, it is not human nature to stand there and let a ball coming 100 miles an hour at you hit you. Now, some batters, I mean, it's just ingrained. They excel at take the hit. And Bryce Strang would be the first to say if he could take it back, he would not have gotten out of the way of one particular pitch. But, you also risk having it be called intentional.
Possibly the only time in my life that I will ever say this, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, it would have been awesome if Wilson Contreras was a Brewer for a second there. Because he would have taken that straight off the chest and then he would have charged the mound and probably got ejected, but you know what, he would have had the hit by pitch and the run would have scored.
It would have been much more exciting that way. And again, that's not one to dwell on because that's hardly a way that you want to win the game, but the fact of the matter is the Brewers hitters were able to get to the bullpen and they've been able to get to Dodger starting pitching otherwise, throughout the course of the season. So you know, we shake this one off. We're coming off that 5-game series against the Cubs. And, you know, so get a good night's sleep in your own bed tonight and do one more at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, same time. And then there's a day off tomorrow. The series moves to Los Angeles after that. I spent a lot of time in the earlier part of the game when, again, it was just, you know, perfect pitching and the Brewers going down in order. And I thought, oh my God, the people at TBS and Major League Baseball must be tearing their hair out over how did Milwaukee get in here? Our ratings are going to be terrible. Everybody's going to be talking about that double play today.
Oh my God.
And I think they're going to get a few more viewers tonight than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, they might have. I just read something that the runner who was on first was Tommy Edman. When he went back to first base because he thought it was caught, he actually passed Max Muncy. So that also would have been an out. So technically speaking, it could have been a triple play.
Hadn't been one out, it would have been a triple play.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been even more exciting. Tony reminds us on YouTube that Cleveland clinched their playoff appearance on a hit by pitch. First time in history that had ever been done. He says the double play was memorable. And he goes on to write, I genuinely thought Pat and Parker's eyes would be red and bloodshot from last night. It was just too exciting. I was very thrilled. It's the league championship series. You know, we're playing for the pennant. It's great. Freddy Peralta has been named as the starter for tonight, so it won't be a full bullpen game, we hope, you know, but we've seen starting pitching chased too early in the past. So
had another good first.
Everybody in the bullpen got to be ready.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it, you know. So that's where we go from here. Again, it's just one game in the book. So far, you know, 97 wins in the regular season, 3 wins in the postseason. So we're at 100 wins, and you still just got to win 8 more. You just got to, you know, you got to win 4 of the next 6 against the Dodgers, and then 4 more against either the Blue Jays or Seattle. And it really appears at the moment like it's going to be Seattle because they are just beating up on Toronto in the first 2 games.
On the road, too.
On the road, yes. Yeah. Do you watch any of the part of the game where yesterday was Thanksgiving in Canada? You know, because of the metric system, the way the calendar works and all that.
Yeah.
And the play-by-play guy is carving a turkey live on air. He's giving John Schmoltz a lesson in how to carve a turkey as he's calling play-by-play. And social media was great that way because you had some people that were so offended, like they felt so disrespected, like our team is playing for the playoffs and they're carving a turkey, and other people going, this guy's the greatest, he can call a play-by-play game on network TV and demonstrate how you want to carve the entire turkey breast off first and then slice it just so. And I at the time I had the TV down, I was doing something else, and I'm like, is it Canadian Thanksgiving or something? Why else would there be a turkey in the booth?
Yeah.
Come to find out that, yeah, that's exactly why. But if I were the play-by-play guy, I don't know that I would call for that bit. I don't know that I could do it because you only have to mess up one play.
I mean, that's true.
But he did it.
He did it. He did it very well. And dare I say, broadcasts are better when there is food involved on air.
Yes. And it all started with John Madden and the turducken.
Yeah,
it's how it is done. All right, we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program here in just a bit. We'll cover a wide range of temperatures around the state as well. That's all coming up. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook gets it right. Toronto fans should not panic. He says the Blue Jays won 4 out of 6 against Seattle during the regular season, including a sweep at Seattle, which is why you play every game, and it's why you play all the games and every inning of them. So that series will roll on as well. Hey, you can sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter filled with show highlights, lots of links, and more. Civic Media Today. .substack.com is the place to go sign up. civicmediatoday.substack.com. Get that as well as the one that I'm sure you're already getting, which is the daily newsletter from Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more about that. In today's edition, of all the places that you could do a fall weekend getaway to a cabin, some group somewhere did a survey, because that's what the internet is now, nothing but surveys, the 10 best this, the 12 best that. And of all the places to do a fall cabin getaway, several destinations are in Wisconsin. Find out what they are by being part of our newsletter. There's also an article there about the proposed data center for Port Washington that outlines some of the issues and some of the public opposition to it. Again, for that and more, sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Remember, you can join the show as well here. The phones are working once again. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So by all means, feel free to steer the conversation with your comments or questions that way, or get on the Civic Media app. And that way you can use the text feature, or you can use the voice note feature to record us a little note as well. And of course, you can get in the comment sections on the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. And you can also email the show radio at upnorthnewswi.com, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Why might you do that? Because there's a lot of people who are commenting on our question of the week, and it is all about the test drilling that was done for potential mining in the Northwoods for zinc and copper and gold and other precious metals, and whether that's something that should never be allowed because you just can't mine safely, or it should be allowed because you can mine safely. You just need, the right safeguards in place, or drill, baby, drill. These companies know what's best. Let them just do whatever it is that they want to do to the Northwoods. You definitely have thoughts on that. There's been, as you might not be surprised to hear, that overwhelmingly at this point, the response is from people who do not want to see any mining up north, but there is a fair sampling of answers that say it can be done if you've got proper safeguards in place. It's very rare that we always put up what you would consider, the mega response, and we don't get a lot of that. But every so often one's comes through with some colorful commentary. Tony on YouTube says, no more mining, please and thank you. If it has to happen, I want strict regulations. He says, I know Pat is very anti-regulations. That's sarcasm after our commentary yesterday about drilling, or about regulations versus, what are regulations? Regulations are protections for the environment, for you, the consumer, for you, the employee, and more. Coming up on the program later, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about things going on in Wisconsin politics. And Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom will join us live from Capitol Hill, where things continue to be very, very quiet about the federal government shutdown. There's no movement right now to do anything about it. And that's not what Democrats want. They stand ready to come back into session anytime when Republicans are ready, because they need Democratic votes. And if they want those Democratic votes, they have to make some moves on health care. And Republicans say, nope, we would rather just continue to, stick it to people. And they are. I saw a story this morning about a food bank that was opening up and getting busier in Highland Falls, New York. Now, Highland Falls, New York wouldn't mean anything to you unless I told you it's the home of the West Point Military Academy. So, yeah, basically the cradle of the United States Army. Which I know well, I had a daughter that lived there for a few years, and it's a lovely little community, but it is one centered on having a competent federal government that, you know, keeps the paychecks coming. And it's not. And you've got a president and Congress that don't seem to give a damn. And so you've got food banks opening there. And then closer to home, you've got food share and WIC benefits that may not be fully funded next month if the shutdown continues. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday from Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea says that food assistance programs in Wisconsin may not be funded in November, according to a letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to state officials. More than 700,000 Wisconsin residents depend on those two programs, WIC and SNAP. The letter says if the current lapse in appropriations continues, there will be insufficient funds to pay full November SNAP benefits to 42 million individuals across the nation. And again, it seems to me that's the kind of thing that you would want to avoid if you were, you know, president of the United States. But, you know, Mr. Art of the Deal continues to play around the globe as if he has somehow solved all of Middle East peace, like he's never seen Camp David and Oslo and everything else. Don't get me wrong. The new ceasefire is a wonderful thing. Having the hostages home is a wonderful thing. But stop with the mission accomplished banner. There's a lot of work to be done yet in the Middle East, but there's a lot more work to be done home, at home first. And maybe that's where the focus ought to be when you've got people who are literally facing the inability to feed their families. Temperatures around the state this morning, quite a range. In Hayward right now, they're at 28 degrees. Meanwhile, down in Racine, 57 degrees. You'll get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But coming up next, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report. That'll be followed by today's history lesson. And that'll include, well, we'll kick things off with a little Thomas Dolby. That's coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Got to give credit to Roger and Stevens Point jumping on Facebook and just sending us one word. Science. Knowing full well that we would be hearing from Tom Robertson, who was born in London 67 years ago today. His stage name became Thomas Dolby, and She Blinded Me with Science became a big hit in the early 1980s. Welcome to today's history lesson. We got a whole lot of people doing things on this day. There's Chuck Yeager, who on this day in 1947 became the first person to exceed the speed of sound. There was Martin Luther King Jr., who on this day in 1964 won the Nobel Peace Prize for combating racial inequality through nonviolence. It's kind of a reverse of the guy who wants a peace prize now for trying to, you know, exacerbate racial inequality through government-sanctioned violence. But give him a Nobel Peace Prize, right? And on this day in 2003, the Steve Bartman incident took place at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Young Mr. Parker Olson here, not yet born or a babe. You were born.
I was a couple months old.
And yet you chuckled. You're familiar with the Bartman incident.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be familiar with a little bit of Cubs misery? Come on.
It marks the day, October 14, 2003, in a postseason game between the Cubs and the Florida Marlins, when a spectator attempting to catch a fly ball maybe affected the outcome of the game. I think a lot of it was because of the reaction from the Cubs outfielder, Moises Alou, who was very frustrated that Bartman and other fans, you know, tried to catch the ball. And then, remember all the nice things I just said about TV directors and TV crews?
Yeah.
I take it all back when it comes to Bartman, that they chose back then to just put the camera on him and make an instant villain out of him. And his life was ruined for years and years and years as a result of that.
Can you imagine if that happened today with social media?
Oh, my God. I mean, at the time, people didn't know. He was able to go back to his kind of nothing job and just kind of quietly do that and do nothing else. Well, his job would have been out there, his address would have been out there, and everything else. So, I don't know. Let's see. From Alicia here says, back to Chuck Yeager, I may need to find the right stuff again. I wanted to be an astronaut because of that movie. As good a book, is the book better than the movie better than the book? It's one of those rare times where you're both right. You know, the right stuff is just it with Chuck Yeager and so much more. So anyway, yeah, Steve Bartman, 2003, that was already. On this day in 1983, Cyndi Lauper released her first solo album, She's So Unusual, and MTV took to it right away. And how could it not? I mean, the outfits and the colors and, you know, it's got girls. They just want to have fun.
They do just want to.
Oh, yeah, she could not have timed that better with MTV just coming to the air as well. All right, we talked about people doing interesting things on this date. Here's a story for you. On this day in 1912 in Milwaukee, former President Theodore Roosevelt was shot and wounded by saloon keeper John Schrank. Thankfully, inside Roosevelt's coat pocket was a glasses case and a folded 50-page manuscript of his remarks. Teddy Roosevelt did not give short speeches. With the bullet wound still fresh in his chest, Roosevelt delivered his scheduled speech at the Old Milwaukee Auditorium before seeking medical care because, as a hunter, he was certain the bullet hadn't pierced his lung because he wasn't coughing up blood. He started by saying, "I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose." And he went on to speak for the next 90 minutes. The bullet was never removed. There's a story.
I didn't know that was in Milwaukee.
That was in Milwaukee. Yes, it was. Yep. Let's see. 1957, the number one hit in the country was by the Everly Brothers. On this day in 1966, Grace Slick made her first stage appearance with Jefferson Airplane at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. On this day in 1967, after 15 weeks at number one, the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was knocked out of the top spot by Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joel. I almost said Billy Joel because of the documentary that I was watching this week. Billy Joel. Billy Joel did not jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Though, if you'd watch the documentary, you could see how that might happen. But we'll talk about that more with Greg on Friday. Happy birthday to R&B singer Karen White. Today, she turned 60 years old. As her hit Romantic, she had a few hits in the early 1990s. John Dean, the White House counselor to President Richard Nixon, who was kind of the lead whistleblower on the Watergate scandal. He is 87 years old today and still really can't believe that he's seen all these things that are worse than Watergate. We thought we'd been at the dark part back in 73, 74, at which point Trump and others said, "Hold my beer." Let's see. Happy birthday to Justin Hayward, frontman of the Moody Blues. He turns 79 today. It's a bittersweet birthday because with the death last week of his bandmate John Lodge, Justin Hayward is the only remaining member of the Moody Blues classic lineup from the 1960s and 70s. Happy birthday to Cliff Richard. The British music legend is 85 years old today. In the days when you could pick a really good stage name like Cliff Richard, because some manager would go, "What's your name again?" "Harold Webb." "Yeah, that's not going to work. You're not Harold Webb anymore. You're Cliff Richard." And he went on to have a gazillion hits, mostly in the UK. Let's see. Happy birthday to Usher. That's his birth name. His name is Usher Raymond IV. And he was born in Dallas 47 years ago today. This is the anniversary of the birth of George Floyd. He was born this day in 1973. On this day in 1972, the number one song was by Michael Jackson, a song about a boy and his pet rat.
A what now?
His pet rat. Seriously. Weren't we just saying yesterday how 7 years later, Michael Jackson, or no, 4 years later, was doing the Off the Wall album and finally had his own creative control? It might have been because he had to do schlocky songs about a boy and his pet rat.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay.
That's,
Here's a good birthday. Natalie Maines from the Chicks. She is 51 years old today. Natalie Maines again, 51, born in Lubbock, Texas. And again, there will always be a part of me that feels completely cheated at the far right losing their minds and again, canceling the Chicks and then having the gall to complain about cancel culture. But let's go back to 1974, talking about country music. The Nashville veterans were just worried, so worried about the sanctity of country music because a foreigner had just won Female Vocalist of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards. Who won that CMA award for Female Vocalist of the Year in 1974 that caused all this angst, all this existential concern about country music? It was that rebel, Olivia Newton-John. So, okay, that's fine. Let's see, we got another country music story for you. This day in 2006, Eric Church was opening at Madison Square Garden for Rascal Flatts. But Eric Church ran past his allotted time and played a little Crazy Train. Not exactly, again, a staple of country music. And he was kicked off the tour. And he was replaced with a talented newcomer by the name of Taylor Swift.
That's crazy.
You just never know where that break is going to come from. It's like my story last week about Glenn Frey and his diverticulitis and how it launched my TV career. You just never know what's going to happen on any given day. What, Mr. Olson, is on the national day calendar for today?
Today we have got National Dessert Day. I'm a big fan of this day.
Oh, big fan. Do you have, if I just say National Dessert Day, you get one thing, go.
Oh, what's that cake called? It's a like Butterfinger Tort, I think.
Oh, it's very good. Not a bad choice.
Very good. What about you?
Let's see. The first thing that came to mind was pumpkin pie, but that's because I had some over the weekend. Cherry pie would be right up in there as well. And, you know, there's almost anything that's related to chocolate, you know, a hot fudge brownie sundae, something like that.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
There we go. I'm spoiling my after show breakfast. Oh, well. So that's for National Dessert Day. What did we miss? You can use the text line, the voice note feature, the comment sections in YouTube and Facebook. And what is the quintessential favorite dessert for National Dessert Day of the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow powered by Up North News radio audience? That's a long-winded question. What's your favorite dessert?
What's your favorite dessert?
Let us know. It's National Dessert Day. You get one thing that you want to have on this day. What's it going to be? What else on the calendar today?
We have also got Face Your Fears Day. Pat, are there any fears you want to face today?
No, because I don't want to face them because they're a fear. That's why I'm running in the other direction from them.
But it's Face Your Fears Day. You turn around, face them.
No. Let's see. There's two different types. There's the kind of fear that you actually could or would face. Let's say, for example, I've never done I've never been in a play. I've never done any kind of like live theater or whatever.
Sure.
That's one, you know, where I always kind of like waffled. Maybe one day I will face my fears and I will do that, you know, playing the old grouchy man in a play. I know, typecasting, right? And then there's fears I would never face. I'd never understand why people jump out of a perfectly good airplane. You know, so when you're like, face your fear. No, not gonna. So, actually here, Tony nailed it. He says he loves, he both loves and fears lava cake. So he's combining two national days in there.
You know what?
No, lava cake is good. He says, my wife loves carrot cake. Tony, I hate to break this to you. You're wrong. And so is she. Nobody loves carrot cake. They love the frosting that goes on carrot. Carrot cake is merely a conduit for that. The same goes with pumpkin bars, you know, that very sugary buttercream frosting that goes on those things.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you put that on, you know, old potato chips, and that'll still taste good.
A good frosting can save anything.
Good frosting can save. It's kind of like a good gravy, you know, can do the same thing. Tony quickly responds, no, she will eat it without the frosting.
Oh, so she's just crazy.
Yeah, and Alicia, I understand there are soldiers who jump out of planes after working on a military aircraft. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. Again, perfectly good airplane. Don't do it. We didn't ask about your fear. What fears do you have to face?
Fears do I have to face? I feel fine. I don't know.
You don't fear anything?
I mean, sometimes
I mean, somebody could walk in with like a snake or I don't know.
Something. Yeah, okay. Sometimes I fear you. But...
Oh, see, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which takes us to our last national day today,
It's National I Love You Day. I love you, Pat.
I know. Coming up, we will have in our 7 o'clock hour much more covering the world of news. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Dan Schaefer and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Don't be afraid. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It is 6:52 on this Tuesday morning. Again, Brewers-Dodgers Game 2 of the National League Championship Series gets going. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 tonight on several Civic Media stations around the network. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Parker's got today's dose of entertainment news.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you remember, was it last year, 2 years ago, when Kendrick Lamar and Drake were beefing with each other?
Yeah, it's been like more than a 1 year thing, isn't it? It's like something that's been going on for like forever.
It peaked last year or so, I think. I don't know. I wasn't fully in tune with it, but Drake was pretty in tune with it. When Kendrick Lamar's song "Not Like Us" expressed some, as a judge would say, expressed opinions and not facts.
About Drake.
About Drake. Okay. And
basically calling Drake not a good person,
not a great person, not a guy that you would
perhaps a criminally charged, criminally tinged person.
Yes,
maybe?
Yes. Okay. So a judge has dismissed that lawsuit, though, that Drake was filing against that song, basically, because it's an opinion and not a fact. So it can't be defamation, the judge says.
Can you have an opinion that somebody's a pedophile? And put that in a song? I mean, mostly a free speech guy here,
yeah.
But there is a line somewhere, and it's not always clear where the line should be, but
no.
I'm thinking if you hint strongly in a song that an actual person is a pedophile, that might be grounds for something, and this judge is going, that's your opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know how I really feel about that, but... Okay. All right. What else is coming up?
We've also got a documentary about John Candy. Just came out on Amazon Prime last week.
I Like Me. That's the name, right?
Yep. John Candy, I Like Me. Just came out. It's a documentary about his life. I believe Pete Schwabba had a little bit about it, saying that it includes a story about how John Candy was kind of like self-conscious about his overweight. So his family actually hates watching the movie Stripes. Because he did not want to take his shirt off for the mud wrestling scene, and that was pretty hard for them.
Well, that when you're young and in Hollywood, you know, these things happen. I've seen the preview for it once or the trailer for it once.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just don't know if I'll be able to watch it. I mean,
really?
I don't seek out things where I know I'm going to cry through it. And you know, we lost John Candy way too early, and you're going to hear about his insecurities and all of that. And it's going to be rough to watch. And I know some of his friends who have already seen the trailer have commented as well, saying that it is going to be hard. But it is also an overdue appreciation of him as an actor, as a comedian. And so, you know, I suppose I will see it at some point. I want to see it at some point, but you know, you're going to have the Kleenex ready.
Yeah.
It'll be a little tougher.
Maybe small doses will help you with that.
Perhaps. It's kind of like the way I watch the Billy Joel documentary all the time. So, all right. So that's coming up on Prime. Did you say when? Is it just soon?
I believe
now?
It was last week it came out.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about you got a podcast that you're going to be talking about here. I guess you could call it one of the OG podcasts.
I guess. I actually was unfamiliar with this. WTF with Mark Maron is coming to an end after 16 years, over 1,000 episodes, I think like 1,600 episodes. For his final guest, he had Barack Obama on.
Now, I remember that having Barack Obama on years ago, like kind of made him, if memory serves, like podcasts were still very new.
Sure.
I know I was certainly one of those folks who was like, I don't know if this is going to be working. You know, people are just going to tune into a show, you know, on a phone. What?
Really?
Yeah. It seems that it's doing all right.
Yeah.
Did I mention it all? Did you know that this show is a podcast? And you can head over to Spotify right now and you can follow this as a podcast and listen on demand, just like any other podcast. Turns out podcasts are a great idea, ladies and gentlemen. One of the best inventions ever invented. Don't listen to that cranky old man from all those years ago who said Mark Maron's never going to make it. Subscribe to our podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and get the show now. Anyway, you were saying about Mark Maron's podcast?
He said, because Obama was kind of interviewing him a little bit about how, like, this is really the end for, like, what do you do now? And Maron said that he feels like he still has stuff to do and that people have grown to rely on him, which he pointed out was much like Obama after his presidency.
I like that. That's good.
And he kind of realized he was comparing his podcast to being a president. So,
Well, you know, in some ways, what is your forum when you give up the soapbox that you've got?
Yeah.
And for a lot of us men of a certain age, it's a very easy answer. Our next forum is a table at your local McDonald's getting your senior discounted coffee with other knights of the round table, and you solve the problems of the world. And I defy you to go into any McDonald's anywhere and between the hours of 7 and 10 a.m. and not see a similar situation. And I'll tell you something, as somebody who was a candidate and a legislator, that truly cut both ways. Those were some of the best conversations, going in and shaking hands and asking people what they think. And in many ways, you could not get out fast enough because you realized they had solved the problems of the world, but you did not want those solutions to be the ones that got put into place. But that is the podcast for men of a certain age. And I seriously believe if somebody could go around to a lot of these conversations, a lot of these McDonald's, and just record snippets of these conversations, they could make such a good podcast series out of that.
I really want that. I would love to hear the talks at the McDonald's at 10 a.m.
That may be my thing. I may just, when I give up this show, I may just do a podcast based on a bunch of us old guys getting our senior coffee at McDonald's. I got to go write this down.
I see no reason not to do this. This is a fantastic idea.
Turn into something. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 WJFW will be along in our next hour, as will James Kelly, as will Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. All that ahead live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.